We showed them the stats from last year. Not only did they beat us soundly. And against them, it's about toughness. And they find ways. We talked about being the best defensive team on the court. And they're the best in the country. They're really, really good. They do things other people don't do. And they really, he's done a great job with that, especially with new guys. You know, he had some pretty good veteran guys, but he's been able to do it with this group. And then I think we've moved the ball. We shared the ball. We shot 54% at halftime. We turned it over too much. You know, you still, it's to adjust to the, how they guard. But I thought we had some good possessions where we moved it. We didn't make some open ones, but we did a lot of good things. And, you know, it's a good team win, good grind out win. We talked about 40 minutes because they make you play for 40 minutes.
Kansas State atop the Big 12. They share the first place in the Big 12 with Kansas. Who would have thunk it? Starting 0-2 in Big 12 conference play, down 21 in the second half, staring 0-3 in the face when they were trailing West Virginia and Manhattan. And they come back. They win. Barry Brown a game winner. Brown a game winner against Iowa State. Next thing you know, you win at Oklahoma fairly easily. You beat TCU in workmanlike fashion. And last night, honestly, K-State was in control of that game from the very beginning. And poor Riley Gates, our Wildcat insider, said that Tech was going to win. K-State wasn't going to win. Didn't see it happening. I'll tell you what, I saw it happening. And I don't rule anything out with Kansas State this year. I think they can lose to anybody, and they can beat anybody in the Big 12. And that's the problem with K-State basketball at times, is they'll play a couple great games against good teams, and then they'll lay an egg against somebody. Start out slow this year, but it seems like they've got everything on the right track. They've won 5 in a row. They're playing good basketball. Not great offensively, but they're not a great offensive team. Dean Wade only took 6 shots last night. Still scored 13 points, Barry Brown 15. But that defense keeps K-State in every single game. So if they shoot 45% like they did last night against a very good Texas Tech defense, they've got a chance to win anywhere. Their defense does travel. I think the question, of course, is Dean Wade got to be more aggressive, take more than 6 shots. But Texas Tech, listen, they're not a good offensive team. Brian Haney, the voice of Jayhawks, said this about a week or two ago when Texas Tech was off to an undefeated start in the Big 12. I said, who's the biggest challenger to KU in the race? And he didn't even say Texas Tech. What he said was Texas Tech is dominant. They depend on one dominant player, and that's Jarrett Culver. He said they struggle to score. I don't think they have enough offense to challenge for the Big 12 title. That's what Brian said. I should have sent that to Riley, so Riley would have had a better prediction.
Yeah.
But by the way, I'm just making fun of Riley because he'd make fun of me if I missed one, and trust me, I missed predictions as well. So
oh, yeah.
We've all missed predictions.
All of us.
It's just that Riley went way out there, which I was thinking it's that clear cut because I never
thought that even before the week because
they got
down a huge hole and only lost by 6
right.
in Lubbock.
Yeah, so. Yeah, he was focused on the first half, but you could take the second half and Dean Wade's back and everything else. I mean, and Tech's not a good offensive team. They're not a juggernaut, and we saw that last night. Tech didn't even score 50. 58-45, K-State won. Tech has no offense outside of Culver. And they weren't hitting some threes, which, of course, when you make shots, you look great. When you miss those shots, you look horrible. It happens to every team at one point or another during every season, even the best teams in the world. I mean, the Golden State Warriors have nights where they can't make anything. It happens.
Yep.
Klay Thompson can go 2 of 15 the next night, make 10 straight threes. That's just basketball. It's hard to explain. But the bottom line is this. K-State's defense keeps them in games. Their offense struggles at times. I still don't know why teams don't just start out and play zone. I still don't get that. I don't know why Texas Tech didn't play zone. But they're one of the best defensive teams in the nation. They play man, so they're going to do that. That's what Kansas is going to do against K-State, too. But if KU ever gets down in a game against K-State, then they got to go to a zone. And it could be a weak zone and make K-State shoot them out of that zone. And last night, K-State late in the game did a really good job of moving the ball. I was impressed with that. Dean Wade's got to be more aggressive, just 6 shots, but we've said that his whole career, so I don't think that's going to change. Barry Brown has become the alpha dog again, which you had pleaded for a few weeks ago, and that's what's happened. If he hadn't done what he's done, K-State wouldn't be 5-2 right now. Kamau Stokes hitting some timely shots. May Wien's played solid all year long, especially defensively, gives them a few points here and there. And K-State is playing about as anybody – they're playing as good as anybody in the conference right now, especially on defense. Hustle plays, I see them getting to the floor right away, trying to get those 50-50 balls. That's a credit to Bruce Weber and his staff. So K-State's turning around. They're 5-2. They got A&M coming up this weekend on the road, part of the Big 12 SEC Challenge. That's an opportunity to enhance K-State's resume. And then you turn around, you got Oklahoma State, and that'll be the game that K-State loses. With Oklahoma State needing to have walk-on tryouts in the middle of the season, to have enough depth off their bench. That's how bad things are because they dismissed a few players. So, you know, will K-State win the Big 12? I think most people say no. But we're at least talking about it right now because 5 games ago, second half against West Virginia, people were like, K-State going to win a Big 12 game? K-State can't even finish 500 in this conference. They won't make the NCAA tournament. Suddenly, they've beaten 3 consecutive ranked teams, 2 of those on the road. Their defense has been great. They held Texas Tech to a season-low 45 points on 33% shooting. And as I said, the defense travels wherever they go, home or away, and that will keep them in almost every single game. And then when they start hitting some timely shots, they're going to be tough to beat. And so they knock off another ranked team last night as they take down number 14, Texas Tech. If they beat A&M this weekend, I don't know how K-State isn't ranked next week when the new polls come out. So a great opportunity for K-State last night. They took full advantage. Give them credit. They win and honestly controlled the entire game. Really was never in doubt. Never in doubt. Not bad for a bad offensive team to be 5-2 in the Big 12 after 7 games after an 0-2 start.
Yeah, I'm not shocked by a lot of stuff, but based on what I saw the first night out when I was there against Texas, I never saw this coming at all.
I'm not shocked K-State's turning around. I'm shocked that they've won 5 straight since then.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
And beating 3 ranked teams.
If they lost that game, lost another one, 5-2, you know, they're 3-1 some point during this stretch or something like that.
Right.
But 5 straight wins and playing the defense they are, and then 3 top 25 teams that they've beaten and on the road at Iowa
State.
2
on the road,
exactly,
Oklahoma and Iowa
Oklahoma State. On the road. And so that's what's surprising to me is when you feel you're down and out, down by 21 to West Virginia, about to go 0-3 in the Big 12.
You're cooked probably.
And all of a sudden you turn it around. Somebody that night said – I think it was Kurtz, actually. He said this might be the turnaround for K-State, this comeback win. Everybody's like, it's West Virginia. They don't have any wins yet.
Yeah.
So they're kind of shrugging it off. But it ended up being true.
Absolutely.
I mean, that turned it all around right now in 5 straight.
The West Virginia game saved their season, I think. But the Iowa State game gave them confidence right after that win. To win in Ames where KU got plastered, that was big. All right, we're going to get to Bob Sutton here in a moment and some tennis news. Ron, are you out there listening? We know tennis. But first, local sports information. We got locker room chats tonight.
Yes, coming up this evening, we'll talk with the head coaches of Beloit, Osborne, Smith Center, Lincoln, and Thunder Ridge. So stay tuned for that. Begin around 5:10 this evening and always online at katycountry94.com. And if you miss them there in our podcast center, they're at katycountry94.com as well. Latest Kansas Wrestling Coaches Association rankings are also out. Smith Center this week is number 8 team-wise. And Jaden Atwood of Smith Center has moved up to number 1 at 138. Zane Colson staying number 1 at 152, Rock Hills, Beloit. Colton Shoemaker, number 2 at 113, and Chance Bath, number 4 at 138 for Lincoln. So those are the rankings and full rankings, again, are at ncksports.com. As we mentioned in our sportscast, Sacred Heart at Beloit was postponed last night to tomorrow, so that game will be on Katy Country 94 online video at ncksports.com. And, again, for the latest and all the schedules for your favorite teams, now, if you're looking, everything that we have as far as date-wise, makeup dates are all updated on the website, on their schedules at ncksports.com from last night's games. Nobody played last night. Everything was postponed in our area.
All right. So look forward to that. Then on Friday, we got Lakeside and Osborne from Downs. They'll still have that call there on Friday. And so we got games tomorrow night and Friday night and then the next week. And the next thing you know, it'll be a sub-state. Then state and everything
come
else.
Faster than,
which I'm okay with coming fast because that means the weather is going to warm up because I don't like 10 degree temperature, and that's what we have right now. Not a fan. My wife said last night, we need to move to a warmer climate. I said, well, find me a job, find yourself a job, line all that up, and then let me know where we're moving to, and I'll let you know if I'm going to ride along or not.
Yeah.
The problem is
no matter where you decide you want to go, there's always going to be some kind of weather issue that you don't want to deal with for me.
Ah, dusty. Poor night.
I think I moved
dusty.
To Florida. You know, like it's the same like every day in some places.
You know, I'm not talking Florida. Maybe move to Highlands Island. I hear it's perfect.
That's
there.
True.
You know, you can move out of the country. You are allowed to do that.
That's true.
You could, live in the Bahamas. That would be awesome. Go to Hawaii, which would be pricey. You could just go live in the Dominican, Aruba.
The
I mean, do you not watch that show?
There, but.
Do you not watch that show on television? Because my wife watches it all the time, and that is the island. Like they're these people that you don't have any idea what they do for a living, but somehow can be 15 years younger than me, and they can be 28, 29 years of age, and have 2 kids, and you don't know what the heck they do for a living. Have a budget of $550,000 to buy a 3-bedroom, 2-bath, condo on the beach in Aruba. I mean, it's like. How do you afford that at this age? What did you do? Win the lottery? Rob a bank? What did you do? But there are places out there where the temperature is about the same almost all the time. Now, there are some places where you go where it's paradise, but then they get the rain showers that come in. So there's what you're saying.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you know,
but that I can live with.
Places like the
now, the hurricanes you got to worry about.
Yeah, that's the, you know, like the Puerto Ricos and the places like that, the hurricanes are going to roll through.
Quit bursting the bubble, man. Please.
Yeah.
Quit
that's why I said Hawaii actually would be fairly ideal from that aspect. But the volcanoes would be the only thing to be worried about.
You can
out
still
there.
Have, I think, a hurricane or whatever they call it coming there. Tsunami maybe. Yeah, there's probably not a perfect place. But you know what my wife was saying last night? I said, honey, if it's 105, you're going to whine if we go somewhere. She goes, well, I'm not. She goes, I don't want to go where it's going to be 105 all the time.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay. She goes, I can deal with 105. Because I said, you're complaining now about the cold, which I'm complaining about as well. Well, then the next thing you know, you're going to be complaining because it's 105 here. Yeah. So which
and then
way
when
do you
go
want?
There, you're going to be complaining that it's freezing cold when it's 60 degrees when you're living in the desert.
That's something I'm willing to live with, though. Yeah. The 60 degree, oh, my God, I'm cold in Arizona. But the problem with Arizona,
59 out there.
Problem with Arizona is so doggone hot because the desert's in the backyard. But remember, as everybody says, it's a dry heat.
It
makes it great.
When you were talking about that the other day, about whether you'd have 110 or
10. I would not move to Arizona,
you'd
by the way.
110. Now, 110 Kansas heat is not good, but 110 Vegas heat I could deal with.
Yeah, like, yeah.
Because it is. If you have the water, it's different.
Absolutely.
But,
so we'll keep
weekly weather chat.
My wife will let me know if we're moving somewhere where it's warm all the time. But that's what I was saying, too, is like, well, you're going to have, you know, you got earthquakes in California, you got tornadoes in the Midwest, even in the Southeast now.
Yeah.
You've got, you know, on the East Coast, you've got all kinds of blizzards now that come in there a lot. And you go up into the Great Lakes, it's wind and rain and cold. And you go south in Texas, and then you've got the extreme heat. You know, you could go to Mexico, which that doesn't seem like a good idea. But anyway, that's warmer down there. You know, maybe you go to, like I said, Dominican, Bahamas, Turks and Caicos. You go to your own Highlands Island. I got to talk to Don. He can tell me. Maybe he'll finally let me know how to get to his charter plane, his helicopter, Highlands helicopter. You've heard about that. Everything is HH with this. Highlands Island and Highland. Well, I guess that island is I. But anyway.
Silent H.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you. So that's what we need to find. But that's what my wife talks about yesterday. She's like, well, I'm just tired of this cold. You know, I'm okay. Someday down the line, we just move to a nice warm climate. I'm like, yeah, but there'll be problems there too, like you were saying. She goes, but yeah, I can deal with some of that stuff. But this cold, and she's like me, I can't. The older I get, the more, I just can't. I just am not a big, oh, no. I'm staring at 10 degrees right now. I'm shivering, and I'm inside at 72 because I read it's 10 degrees and it makes me cold. Not a big fan. Not a big fan. Okay, so K-State is heated up. Back to sports.
Yes.
Texas, TCU tonight, Big 12 basketball. That's at Fort Worth. And Oklahoma is at Oklahoma State. Bedlam continues in basketball there in the state of Oklahoma. Then the Big 12 SEC Challenge, Florida at TCU, Alabama at Baylor, Iowa State at Ole Miss, Texas at Georgia, that would be a rematch of the football game. K-State at Texas A&M, South Carolina at Oklahoma State. South Carolina is 5-1 in the SEC, pulled off another upset last night under Frank Martin after getting off to a horrible start. West Virginia at Tennessee, yikes. Vanderbilt at Oklahoma, and Arkansas at Texas Tech. The only good game, let's be honest, is Kansas at Kentucky. That's the only marquee matchup you possibly can get when you do this Big 12 SEC basketball challenge. That's the only marquee matchup.
What
you
was
get.
Iowa State, Mississippi, was that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the only one that because they were asking Fran last night during the broadcast, what games are you looking forward to this weekend? And that's the only other one he could come up with, because Mississippi's actually better than what they were expecting to be.
Still not good.
It's not a marquee.
Both will not be
national
ranked
people,
next week.
National game people want to watch.
Yeah, I'm with you. Okay, so that's the look at basketball. All right, Bob Sutton is finally gone. He was dismissed as the Chiefs defensive coordinator yesterday. For me, it's maybe 3 years too late, but it's definitely 1 year too late. But at the same time, I will say this. I heard a sports talk show host yesterday in Kansas City made one point I totally disagree with, but it's all opinion. And the other quote that he made, I agree with. And he said, this doesn't make me feel any better about losing the Patriots when Bob Sutton's gone. For me, I feel a lot better. Even though the Chiefs lost that game Sunday and it still hurts me as a Chiefs fan, I feel like our chances to get back there have been enhanced drastically, and I don't even know who the new defensive coordinator is after getting rid of Bob Sutton. I truly, truly believe that's been holding the Chiefs back the last couple of years, and the Chiefs were too stubborn to make a change when they finally had to. The writing was on the wall. In essence, the fans and national people and pundits, and plus just see what happened on the field. You continuously get worse defensively year in and year out. You got to make a change. Okay, so I feel actually a lot better. I think that's the silver lining of losing the Patriots, is that now I think the Chiefs are set up to be the class of the AFC for the next 3, 4, 5 years, because I think they're going to give you a defensive coordinator that can surely be better than second to last in the league. With the talent you have Kendall Fuller, Eric Berry, and he's healthy, Chris Jones, Dee Ford, and Justin Houston, how can you be the second worst defense in the league? It blows me away. And for people to keep giving excuses to defense, well, the offense scores too fast. Oh, my Lord. The offense scored 36 points per game in all their losses, and they lost all those games. They averaged 36 points in the losses. That's insane, because the defense gave up 40 per game in those losses.
Yeah.
That's why I got four losses, although still got the number one seed, and then that's why you also gave up 37 points. The Chiefs' offense didn't turn the ball over and put the defense in a bad, horrible position very often. The defense gave up 37 points, not 24, not 31. They gave up 37 points. There were no special teams touchdowns. So, you know, listen, I'm actually excited about that. Now, I will say the one thing I did agree with the sports talk show host in Kansas City about that I really hadn't thought about, which I thought was a very good point, was last year we were saying, hey, you know, you got to give the keys to Mahomes, you got to fire Bob Sutton. You do those two things, and the Chiefs can be in great shape. Well, the Chiefs did one of the two, which we predicted they'd do one of the two.
Yeah.
They did just one of the two. They kept Bob Sutton around, and they kept him around 1 year too long. But this is an interesting point. I hadn't thought about this. Andy Reid was breaking in a new offensive coordinator and a new starting quarterback. He probably thought to himself, do I really want to change defensive coordinators right now when I've got all that I got to deal with?
Yeah.
And let's be honest, Reed doesn't spend a lot of time on the defensive side of the ball.
No, he doesn't.
But I that does make some sense. That does make some sense. Now, we can go back and play the tape. After the Pittsburgh loss in the playoffs 2 years ago, I wanted Bob Sutton fired. When you have Justin Houston in coverage not once, not twice, but three times in a game covering Antonio Brown down the field, that's bad defense. It's a horrible scheme and philosophy. And it happened on a third down play to keep the game alive, or to end the game for the Steelers. And another one on a third down, which gained about 50 yards. So they really hurt the Chiefs. And that was because of the defensive coordinator. That's not Justin Houston's fault. So I was as early as 2 years ago ready to get rid of Bob Sutton as defensive coordinator. And I was willing to give it a try last year. And then after the Titans loss, I was just beside myself. Chiefs decided to go personnel was the issue. Changed personnel. Didn't make any difference. And why did they get 52 sacks? That's the only feather in the cap of Bob Sutton. Well, we led the league in sacks. Well, when the Chiefs are up a lot in their 12 wins, the other team has to do what? They have to pass all the time. Well, then you get more chances to sack the quarterback. So, yeah, you probably should lead the league in sack or be near the top of that category. So, listen, this was not a shocker. Everybody, for the most part, expected it. I expected it to be considered. I didn't know if Andy Reid would have the guts to do it.
Exactly.
And I'm so glad he did. We talked about this yesterday, and we were wrong. We said that we didn't think Andy Reid would have the guts to do it. He did. So I give Andy Reid credit for finally realizing his mistake of keeping him too long. And I think Andy Reid realizes the clock is ticking. This is his best chance to win a Super Bowl, cement his legacy as one of the greatest NFL coaches of all time. The only thing missing on his resume is a Super Bowl win or two. That's it. That's all that's missing. He's only been the one Super Bowl in his career as a head coach. He's been the 6 conference title games. He's 1-5 in those games. And then when you're so close, all you need is one stop. Last year against the Titans, 2 years ago against the Steelers, 4 years ago against the Colts when you're up 38-10, and then you can't get those stops every single time, that's what's holding this team back. It's not Mahomes. It's not the offense. It's not the offensive line. It's not Andy Reid's clock management, okay? Because his clock management in the playoffs was actually pretty doggone good. I know people criticized him calling a timeout there late in the first half. He was trying to get the ball back for his offense to score. He has the best offense in football. That was the right thing to do, to call a timeout on 3rd-and-5, because he actually thought the defense once in the blue moon could get a stop. You know, the mistake he made was thinking the defense could get a stop. Mm-hmm. Thus, he called the timeout. Thus, people criticized Andy Reid. Well, you called the timeout. That gave the Patriots time to score before halftime and go up 14-0. No, once again, put the finger on the defense. Their job to get off the field on 3rd-and-down, which they were horrible at throughout Bob Sutton's tenure, especially the last 3 years. Brutal. That's what's kept the Chiefs from breaking through, especially this year. And everybody knew it. We knew it back in August. We knew it in September. We knew it in October, in December, in January. We knew it. We knew it was going to come down probably to the Chiefs' defense on the field, trying to keep the season alive. We were scared about it. We were hoping it wouldn't happen, but it did. This is so predictable. Everybody knew it. And Bob Sutton, I think, knew at the end of the day, the other day, that he's gone. People said, well, Dee Ford cost him his job. No, Dee Ford did not cost Bob Sutton his job. That's so stupid, okay? When you say one guy on one play cost Bob Sutton his job, that's, I think, just insane. Bob Sutton earned his dismissal. With the talent he has on that roster on the defensive side of the ball with 3 to 4 Pro Bowlers, are you kidding me? How in the world can you be that bad defensively? You can't blame the offense for scoring too fast. That's ridiculous as well. I mean, it's one thing to give up yards, and that hurts your stats because you're up 31-17 and you play prevent. It's another when you're giving up 51 to the Rams, 40 to the Patriots, 15 points in 5 minutes against the Chargers home, 38 to the Seahawks, and 37 to the Patriots when you're at home and should have home field advantage, and your defense is supposed to be so much better at home, which was a bunch of baloney, because look at who the Chiefs actually played at home this year. There were no great teams other than maybe the Chargers. So come on, give me a break about that. It was time for him to go. We said it yesterday. He must go. We said it Monday. He must go. We said it last year. He needs to go. It changed into he must go. Well, he's gone. He's gone. So now the question will be, who should be the new defensive coordinator for the Kansas City Chiefs? Lots of names are out there. Marvin Lewis is one that I think people aren't talking about. He was a defensive coordinator for the Ravens from 96 to 01. He's dealt with the 4-3 and the 3-4 defense. The Chiefs run a 3-4. I don't think they want to change it to a 4-3. That means they got to change personnel. I don't think they want to do that when they're already a Super Bowl contender. So I think they're going to go and find a coach that has 3-4 defensive experience, the 3-4 alignment. Rex Ryan has certainly experience doing the 3-4. Rex Ryan and Marvin Lewis had tremendous success with the Baltimore Ravens. But the Ravens also had a guy named Ray Lewis. The Chiefs don't have a guy named Ray Lewis. They have Anthony Hitchens and Reggie Ragland. Neither one of those can hold Ray Lewis's jockstrap, let's just be honest. So, but the Chiefs do have Dee Ford, Chris Jones, and Justin Houston. And that's the Ravens didn't have that much. They had Suggs. He was a great pass rusher. Yeah. They had Naughty inside, and that's something the Chiefs really need is a guy like that, probably be a run stopper. But listen, Naughty. The Chiefs have Naughty right now. But I think it's going to be interesting. Chris Richard of the Cowboys has been mentioned. He'd be a younger guy, but I coach the 4-3 right now. Somebody mentioned Brent Venables from college going to the Chiefs. I would say that's a long shot. But I wouldn't have a major problem with it, though. I would be a young, up-and-coming mind. And I mean, he's not super young, but he's certainly not old. And he's very creative. And that's what I think I want to see at a new defensive coordinator. Listen, I want a defensive coordinator. The new defensive coordinator, here's what I want him to be. I want him to be aggressive. I want him to be creative. I want him to be unpredictable. That's it. I want him to be unpredictable, creative, and aggressive. That's it. Those three things. And if he does that, I don't want to see third down and nine, third down and nine, third down and 10 on one drive when your season's on the line and you don't even try to bring pressure. That can't happen with a new defensive coordinator. Rex Ryan is super aggressive. I would rather the Chiefs be super aggressive and make a mistake and get burnt than just sit back and get picked to death.
Yeah.
Now, I don't want to get burned over and over and over, don't get me wrong. But you got to mix in the aggressiveness. And Bob Sutton, as we went year in and year out, he became a less aggressive coach. Remember, when they started, they were aggressive. That was the thing about Bob Sutton. He's an aggressive coach. That's why the Chiefs brought him in. He got less aggressive as he went. And what do you know? Right in tune with that, hand in hand, was they got worse defensively. He became less aggressive. Whether he didn't believe in his players to cover in the secondary because that's why he didn't blitz, which there might be something to that. The secondary isn't great. I don't know. But at the end of the day, he didn't get the job done. He had to be dismissed. He's gone. Let's move on. Chiefs fans, I think, are excited. I'm super excited, and I'm really excited to see who they're going to get as a new defensive coordinator. I'm okay with an older guy with experience. I'm okay with a younger guy that hasn't been a defensive coordinator but is a up-and-comer. I heard yesterday Ron Rivera, of course, was a coach for Andy Reid. He's a part of the Andy Reid tree. Ron Rivera is the head coach of the Carolina Panthers. He might have a defensive backs coach that he thinks is going to be a really good defensive coordinator, but he already has a defensive coordinator in place. He may call Andy and say, listen, here's a guy you should consider.
Yeah.
And that might be the next great defensive coordinator. I'm excited. I am really excited. This is helping me cope with the loss on Sunday because I think the Chiefs took one step back by losing, but two steps forward because if Bob Sutton and the Chiefs win the Super Bowl, he's back next year. I don't think you fire a defensive coordinator after winning the Super Bowl, and I don't think
the Super Bowl.
Well, maybe so. And so, in that case, you could say it did cost Bob Sutton his job, Dee Ford's offsides. But at the same time, there are plenty of other things defensively they did wrong in that game against the Patriots, like giving up 3 touchdowns on the final 3 drives of the game when all you need is 1 stop. And yes, you got 1 stop, and the penalty negated that. But there was many other chances to get a stop. So I'm super excited, and let's roll. As they say, the Chiefs do. Let's roll with a new defensive coordinator. Can't wait. We're going to talk to Matthew Derrick about that coming up in a moment. Real quickly, Baseball Hall of Fame. Mariano Rivera is the first ever unanimous Hall of Fame selection, and well-deserved.
Amazing, amazing. All I have to say is thank God for that. You know, I mean, has been a beautiful, long career with, to me, the best organization there is in baseball, the New York Yankees, and end up with with this like that, it's amazing.
And the other selections going to the Hall of Fame, it is Roy Halladay, of course, passed away recently, Mike Mussina, Edgar Martinez. So that's your 2019 Baseball Hall of Fame class that will be inducted in Cooperstown. And in tennis, Serena Williams was up 5-1 in the third set of the quarterfinal yesterday, lost six consecutive games. That's just insane. Can you believe that?
I can't believe it.
Wow. She lost 7-5 in the third, so she's knocked out of the Australian Open. Djokovic, Nadal still alive in the semis, and the Americans have one left, Danielle Collins, who I've never heard of before. That tells you how much I follow tennis lately. But I do know Serena, and she's out